Okay, it's 1 o'clock on Wednesday again, because again on Thursday I got shit to do, so I'm doing this one on Wednesday. Yeah, it is Wednesday, not Thursday. So anyway, let's get rolling here onto the things that actually matter and cover some cyber stuff. If you're listening to this, like, here you go. Go ahead and start the clock, because I want to perform an experiment, because I had somebody DM me recently and they were like, there's no way that you actually do this stuff live and blah, blah, blah. So let's play it out a little bit. Start your clock right now and let's go see how many default passwords we can find on the internet in under 10 seconds. Are you ready? So I've got it queued up. Let's go for default passwords. We're going to go through Shodan here, and 34,578 is what I see right now. I'm going to go to United States, and we'll just do this as well. So default password is the tag, and let's go look at the organizations that are part of this. And a lot of this is default, but the passwords are like Cisco and admin and other really simple things. Some of the passwords are literally default. So 34,000 of those. It took me that long to find them. Looks like 2,914 are here in Northern Virginia, in my neck of the woods. There's some in Verizon, those types of things. But I mean, that's the reality of what's up, is it's not that crazy difficult to get to this stuff. Just for the shits and giggles of it, let's go way down to the bottom and see what's way for RSA, where I'm supposed to run around like an idiot in spandex at RSA. We're still $1,500 short, so as of right now, I'm still safe. But if you happen to have some extra money going around, 100% of this does go to veterans charity. So if you want to donate, great. But for right now, we're still $1,500 short. Chase is still safe from having to run around with spandex on at RSA, which is good by me. He's paved the way for floor debate on revised legislation to reauthorize a controversial surveillance program that really shouldn't be controversial, breaking a months-long stalemate among Republican lawmakers. Panel voted 9-2 Tuesday in favor of a rule for debate on a measure to renew 702, Section 702 of the FISA, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. The program, which sunsets on April 19th, allows U.S. intelligence agencies to conduct warrantless surveillance of the electronic communications of foreigners outside the country, but also captures the else. But let me a person for you to show up on the list of things that we're going to look at in that FISA program. Oh boy, did we totally lose everybody there? Yeah, looks like we lost a lot of folks, but anyway, we'll just keep on moving there. So, with all of that, let's keep on going. Apologize. I don't know, the internet does what the internet does, and there's nothing you can do about it. But moving forward, FISA is not going to come get you if you're an American citizen. FISA is not going to come get you if you are like some person in the UK or whatever. Like, you've done something, or there's a reason that you show up, because FISA, you're submitting a request and a judge has to get involved, and it goes way, way further down the rabbit hole than that. So I personally think that FISA should just be auto renewed, because there's a lot of value to it. And I worked in the intelligence community. I am genuinely not concerned about the federal government looking around at what I do, because I got nothing to hide. Hell, if it would help, it'd be great if they would look at my taxes and go, you owe less. Although that's never going to occur, it sure would be nifty if that was the thing. But it is what it is. So don't freak out about FISA. Congressional people, if you're listening, just renew FISA, because if it saves somebody's life because we looked at their electronic records, big deal. Plus, all that shit's already been hacked anyway. So who cares? It's been hacked and hacked and hacked and hacked and hacked. And again, your credit card company knows more about you than the NSA ever will. Your Apple Watch knows more about you than the FBI ever will. I'm actually wearing a Whoop now because Whoop is pretty slick. Whoop knows more about me than my doctor ever will. I'm not concerned about a FISA thing. You shouldn't be either, I don't think. Following on to that, there's an article that talks about the EPA. EPA says allegedly breached data was already publicly available. So I don't know if that's a good thing or if that's just them saying, like, don't worry about this, it's not a problem. But here you go. So the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency said there's been no breach of data from the agency following claims made by threat actors on Sunday. Okay, anytime I see that, anytime it says no data was breached, I always tell people to start their clock, so buckle up. The EPA told Recorded Future News on Tuesday that the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Agency, CISA, and FBI confirmed that the data was already publicly available. So they won because their shit was already hacked. Additionally, the hacker confirmed they never breached the EPA and said the data was publicly available. So the website is Facility Registry Service, a portal allowing anyone to search the facilities of the EPA where they collect information from. On Sunday, a hacker in popular cyber criminal forum offered 3 gigabytes of data allegedly taken from EPA systems. The person behind the post said the information was a contact list of critical infrastructure organizations around the world. Now, okay, so I get where the EPA is trying to say not a thing because they're not concerned about the hack that occurred, but that data being already publicly available, it's a list of critical infrastructure related facilities. So that's kind of a problem if that's what's going on, because there's OSINT there. Does that mean that it was a breach? No. Should that stuff probably be secured behind something? I would hope so, because it's got critical infrastructure information tied to it. So not a good way to deal with this. On The Verge, Microsoft left internal passwords exposed in latest security blunder. An unprotected server accessible by anyone on the internet was locked down after researchers discovered it. So that's good. This is as of this morning at 6:45. Microsoft reported locked down a server last month that exposed password, keys, and credentials of Microsoft employees open to the internet. According to TechCrunch, 3 security researchers at SOC Radar, a company specializing in detecting corporate security cyber weaknesses, discovered that an Azure-hosted server storing sensitive data linked to Microsoft Bing search engine was left open with no password protection. Well, luckily, nobody uses Bing, so whatever. The server contained a variety of security credentials used by Microsoft employees to access internal systems, housed within various scripts. There's a developer in there somewhere. And config files. Again, developer has to be involved in this somewhere up at my left foot. One of the researchers, Ken Yulari, told TechCrunch that hackers could potentially use his exposed data to find access other areas where Microsoft stores internal data, which would result in more significant data leaks. Yes. They were notified about it on February 6th and locked it down by March 5th. It's unclear if anyone ever had their stuff exposed during this time. So, I would not want to be at Microsoft right now. Shadow IT for sure. Everybody always talks about Macs and Macs don't have exploits and whatever else. Well, I will tell you that if you go to GitHub and you look up this thing called Docker-OSX, it's from Sick Codes. I've been messing around with this thing. It's actually super cool. But basically, there are ways to test your Mac devices for a whole bunch of different things. If you're having Macs connect to your network, if you're using Macs, if you're doing Mackie Mac things, go check all this stuff out and test and try and play with it, because likelihood that you have some sort of vulnerable asset, and if there's a Mac there, this should be something that concerns you. And this thing can help run through a whole bunch of that. And it's very Dockery, but if you can read, you can figure this stuff out. And if you have people on your team that do Dockery type things, Dockery is not a word, by the way, but just Docker stuff, they could run this. So check it out. I'll put the link to this at the end, but Sick Codes, Docker-OSX. DoD cyber officials detail progress on Zero Trust Framework Roadmap. Hooray. This is as of April 3rd. You know, so here we go with other issues. So this is good, though. This is one of the good issues. And I was on the DoD Zero Trust Symposium this week. They were kind enough to let me speak, and that was super cool. But here's where we're at. So the Defense Department is on track to implement its Zero Trust Cybersecurity Framework by the end of fiscal year 2027. And that's from very senior Pentagon people, like super, super senior folks. David McCown, who I saw on this thing, serves as the DoD's Deputy Chief Information Officer, underscored significant progress the department has made in implementing what he said will be a transformational change in how the department, DoD, approaches cybersecurity. It's not just a program or an application. Zero Trust is an evolution of our entire security landscape, he said. By embracing it, we not only protect our data, but we strengthen our defenses and preserve our way of life. So pretty big deal. And I was on the call listening to this stuff all this week. John Sherman was there. He says that this is an absolute top priority. And the reality of it is when you can see money go behind something, that's when you know it's legit. And here's a quote from Sherman. If you look at our funding and if you look at our cyber investments we're making and the time we're spending, Zero Trust is first and foremost among what we're doing. So you can, you know, for the haters out there that are, you know, still talking about the hater rate around ZT, keep doing your hating, but you're going to wind up being the slow gazelle. If the DoD can leverage Zero Trust as a strategy, and they've got some awesome partners that are doing a whole bunch of really cool things. I've seen the stuff going on with Dell's Project Fort Zero. Like, there's a whole bunch of folks doing really, really cool shit that's going to help the government do things right. You, as the people that doubt, will be the ones left holding the bag, because when another target becomes harder, where do the adversaries go? They go after you. You will be standing there in the military, you say dick in the wind, even if you may not have a dick, but dick in the wind, trying to figure out what's going on because you chose to go, that this Zero Trust thing is not a real thing. And I'm not, it's a bunch of bullshit, a bunch of marketing stuff and whatever else. That just keep doubting, please. Because if we live on the same street and you're going to be the one that people break into your house, I'm okay with that. Keep with your hate rate. Keep it up. Change Healthcare hit by cyber extortion again. Change Healthcare, a subsidiary of United Health Group, has been facing renewed extortion from cyber criminals a month after paying the ransom. So they paid the ransom and they're getting double raped to prevent the release of data. It didn't work very well. The attack, orchestrated by the Alpha Black Cat ransomware gang, disrupted healthcare operations. We all remember this, which compromised 4 terabytes of sensitive data, which is ouch. Super ouch. Following the attack, the Black Cat group claimed responsibility, but later announced their disclosure. However, suspicions arose when they failed to share a $22 million ransom payment reported made by United Health Group. Now, a new ransomware group, Ransom Hub, has surfaced, threatening to expose stolen data unless another ransom is paid. So, ouch. But then again, it's an insurance company, so they've got the money because all they do is rip people off anyway. So they can cut the check for this. They can cut it 5 times if they had to. Ransom Hub, which emerged February 24, boasts Black Cat former affiliates among its ranks. So there's like the business side of what goes on in the bad guy space, where these folks are all in this cesspool of criminals that are working with each other. According to a dark web blog post discovered by cybersecurity analyst Dominic Alvieri on Monday, Ransom Hub operates a ransomware as a service model. The group allows affiliates to retain 90% of ransom proceeds. Man, I'm in the wrong career field. I mean, hell, I've written 7 books, and I think the highest I ever got royalties was like 30%. While speculation surrounds Ransom Hub's connection to Black Hat, SOC Radar suggests they may be distinct entities. It's important to note, in many cases, the payment of ransom doesn't guarantee the criminal will decrypt the victim's files, because they're criminals. Like, if you've ever dealt with criminals, they'd be criminaling. They don't just go, okay, you got me, here, take your shit and go on. They're going to come back. And if you pay, they're going to come back again anyway. But insurance companies can afford this stuff, so sucks to be y'all. Wells Fargo also had a breach notification again this week if you're a Wells Fargo customer. So yeah, Home Depot had another one as well. Blah blah blah. Like, it's almost to the point of comedy where you continue talking about, are we solving the same problem the same way, and people don't get it and whatever else. And then you see organizations that are doing better, and you sit there and go, well, what are they doing? Oh, it's a strategy that they put in place, and they're dealing with the reality of the compromise, the reality of the threats, and things get better. Or you can continue sticking your finger in the dam and hoping that you get it right, which is stupid. But hey, go ahead. This article's in the Hacker News. Cybercriminals targeting Latin America with sophisticated phishing scheme. But aren't people trained on phishing? Like, isn't that how we stop all phishing, is training? A new phishing campaign has set its sights on Latin America region to deliver malicious payloads to Windows system. The phishing email contained a zip file attachment that, when extracted, reveals an HTML file that leads to a malicious file download. So you have to do like two or three or four things here. So I don't know why this is considered to be particularly sophisticated, because you got to click the link, you got to open the thing, you got to download the thing, you got to unzip the thing, and then like you're kind of, you know, hoping, you're kind of making this happen, to be perfectly frank. But just so you know, here's some specifics. So the email message originates from an email address used domain temporary.link. Oh my God. Yeah, like that's a simple way. You shouldn't be accepting that. That shouldn't even be a thing. But anyway, the HTML file points containing a link, something.cloud, displays an error message saying it's been suspended. The account has, when you visit the IP address that you look at in Mexico, it loads a capture file. So you got to do all kinds of stuff for this to be, I wouldn't call this sophisticated. I would call this kind of old school. And if you're falling for it, your training is definitely not living up to the reality of what you need. And this would simply be blocked in a whole lot of different ways. Firewall rule, RBI, controls, application whitelisting. Like this one shouldn't even be an issue, but I'll put the link in here to it anyway. If you're in LATAM, don't open zip files that somebody sends you when the URL and link in there is from a domain temporary. There you go. That's your phishing training. CISA, 300,000 plus small entities covered by proposed cyber reporting regs. So here's the data on this. Some 311,000 small entities are subject to proposed reporting rules and regulations under the Cyber Incident Reporting Critical Infrastructure Act, CIRCIA. Under the proposed rules, covered entities, those organizations subject to the regulation, must report major cyber incidents to the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Agency within 72 hours, and ransomware payments must be reported within 24. This is unlikely to take effect until 2025, but probably not till 2026, CISA said. The law requires CISA to develop implement regulations requiring covered entities to report those incidents. They have developed a notice of proposed rulemaking, which is open for comments now. Please go make your comments. I did. They weren't comments that were going to help it, but they were comments. So this is centered around the idea that required reporting will enable CISA to deploy resources to help cybercrime victims to analyze incoming data. Good Lord. Based on its analysis for this thing, CISA found of the estimated 316,244 covered entities in the United States, CISA estimates that 310,855 would be considered small business entities, including some government agencies and related organizations. Of the 264 NAICS codes, 99.2% had a revenue impact of this because of less than 1%. The average cost per non-covered entity would be $33.58, and the average cost per covered entity experiencing a single cyber covered incident would be $4,139.60. Good Lord. There's a whole lot of other things in here, but it's a 400-page document, and the reality of it is, like, just look at that one number right there. So 311,000 small entities. How many people are at CISA right now? There ain't 311,000 of them. And how many breaches do we have in a given month? You think that what are they going to staff up for all this? How are they possibly going to deal with the deluge of reports that will come from this if people can't even report it because most of them don't know that they're breached within 72 hours or are willing to admit that they paid a ransomware payment within 24. So how is that going to work? There's cost associated with all this, and it's really the human capital cost of how to staff this stuff up. I've been at an agency before when we were very first starting out cybersecurity as a practice, and you got stacks of things in front of you, and you're one person. There is no way that this can be covered with the current way that stuff is staffed up. And for me as an American that pays taxes, I see the giant sinking hole of tax money that's going to go into this. So, yeah, be aware of that. I'm not sure what everybody else's thoughts are on this, but those are mine. I get the idea and I get the concept. And yes, there's value to trying to do this, but these sort of knee-jerk reactions to things that are not actually enforceable aren't going to help. It's just the truth of the matter. I mean, it literally is. And here I'll put the link to the actual rulemaking. Here's the act. It's like I said, it's 400 pages. I read through most of it. And the public comment period is open. So go make your comments and say, if you're a small business and you're trying to deal with this stuff, go make your comments now because you're going to run out of time. Following on to that. So the database you don't want to need, check to see if your data was hacked. More than 144 million Americans' medical information was stolen or exposed last year in a record-breaking number of healthcare data breaches. The most significant healthcare breach in history when they targeted Change Healthcare, which has just got hit again. Like the bad guys have figured it out. This is a quote from someone at that organization. Why hack 1,000 hospitals when I can hack a common business associate and get all the data? So there's your third-party thing. The question of has your health information been exposed? I would say yes. If you're above the grass and sucking oxygen, your healthcare information has been exposed. But here's just some other stuff. Federal law requires healthcare organizations to report to Health and Human Services any security breach that exposes patient information, such as HIPAA, HITRUST, whatever. You can search by company name. So I'll put the link to this in here, and you can go in and say, search company name, and it will tell you the company, the breach date, how many people were affected, and then the type of incident, so whatever value there is there. But if you're worried, it's been breached and it's out there. Now I guess the question is, what is a HIPAA violation? Is it, how much is it per record? I think it's like, what is a HIPAA fine? So if a HIPAA fine is $100 fine is if an individual is unaware that they were violating HIPAA rules, and a maximum of $25,000 per year. A minimum $1,000 fine if an individual had reasonable cause for their actions and were not willing to be neglectful. And a maximum $100,000 per year. So enforcement highlights. So there's a lot of stuff in here about the HIPAA violation side of it. But if you do the math on this, let's say there's 114 million people's information hacked. Of those, let's say, 35% were, targeted or whatever, blah, blah, blah. So do the math on that, multiply that by these numbers, like it's pretty freaking huge. But is that bringing those companies out of business? No, not at all. Anyway, just to point on the whole, fines and whatever thing, that's not fixing anything. Just saying. If you're in doubt that cybersecurity is still the hottest market that there is, go look at the funding that's going on right now. So here's some article from PR Newswire. Cybersecurity funding in Q1 of 2024, deals increase despite a lower overall investment trend, but deals are still happening. So 101 transactions in cybersecurity vendor space totaling $2.3 billion across 77 funding rounds and 24 M&A events. This represents approximately a 2.7 increase in transaction volume from 75 and last year, a 20% decrease in fundraising from $2.9 billion the year prior. Despite the year-over-year dip in funding not appearing favorable, it's important to consider the nuances. 2023 posed considerable challenges for the cybersecurity community, the broader tech landscape. With the rise in interest rates, securing funding became increasingly difficult. Sure, bankers be bankers be bankers. That's what I meant to say. Should the cybersecurity industry begin worrying, the decline in cybersecurity funding fails to capture the whole picture. While still not exceeding last year's numbers, Q1 2024 figures indicate the possibility of an optimistic outlook for cybersecurity companies. For instance, March 2024 highlighted a significant milestone in cybersecurity funding with $1.4 billion raised in 42 funding rounds. This was the first time researchers observed monthly funding exceeding $1 billion since February 2023. So this suggests that despite last year's setbacks, the cybersecurity sector is regaining momentum and may be on the cusp of a more robust growth phase. This is the only space where there's a negative unemployment rate. This is the only space where you can pretty much not be unemployed if you don't want to be. And for those asking, I will make sure that the donation link for things is out there as well. But anyway. The White House recently released its budget for the 2025 fiscal year. Fiscal year 2025 cybersecurity spending priorities, and here they are: defend critical infrastructure, disrupt and dismantle threat actors, shape market forces, invest in a resilient fleet future, forge international partnerships. In 2023, the White House released a 35-page document detailing the new national cybersecurity strategy. I heard about that one, with an updated strategy expected this summer. Also heard a lot about that one. Winky, winky, winky. The measures and the strategy focus on encouraging secure development processes and other things, blah, blah, blah. And then four areas of investment. Sustain FBI cyber and counterintelligence investigative capabilities. Okay, sure, cool. Protect against foreign adversaries and safeguard the federal system. Mm-hmm. Extend the frontiers of AI. None of it's AI, but let's just call it that because that's what the market says. And then protect U.S. healthcare systems. Well, we're doing a bang up fucking job there. So, yeah. However, just so that you know this, experts do not expect the current budget to be passed as is. In FY24, the Biden administration requested $12.7 billion, but the budget is still under negotiation because we do stupid stuff in this country. However, the funding for civilian agencies increased. So, yeah, there you go. And just as a final point here with the thing I was kind of making about the new money coming in and where things line up, like go look at this, go look at layoffs.fyi and just type in industry for security and go look at all the cybersecurity companies that have laid people off in the course of the last quarter. It's a pretty substantial number. Matter of fact, if you sort by the largest areas for layoffs, cyber is definitely up in the top three. So then the question becomes, well, if that's the case and more money's coming in, are we doing anything right or wrong, or what are we missing, or where is that money going? Like a problem, I would suggest, big issue, something to be concerned about. If you have more money coming in and more problems and more legislation and more requirements and there's companies laying people off, how does that work in the far end of this equation? I don't know. Anyway, I covered a lot. I showed you how to basically, or I didn't show you, but I told you how you theoretically could use Shodan or another search engine to go off and find default passwords for systems and under 10 seconds. Didn't take me long. Found a few thousand of them, et cetera, et cetera. I will put the link to the donation thing here. If you're going to be at RSA next month and when you're around, I'd love to say hi and shake hands and, you know, whatever. And hopefully we'll see all you wonderful people out there, because that's really the great thing about RSA is getting to see people you haven't seen all year. I would argue. I don't need more fucking vendor t-shirts and socks and whatever. I got plenty of those. Plus, they don't ever make them in XLT. You know, there are those of us that are freaks that need some, you know, specially sized t-shirts. Just saying, XLT t-shirts would be kind of cool for those of us that are genetically anomalous. Anyways, I'll see y'all at RSA. I'll be here next week. I'll do this thing all the way up to RSA and look for more things for me, because I want to help people and we're doing good stuff on some fronts. So as always, stay smart, stay safe, stay secure. I apologize for the blips in internet connectivity or whatever. I've done everything I can. I got new routers, new firewall. I'm hardwired into the system. I've sacrificed my third-born child and I had a rubber chicken and a shaman in here, but I still don't know why it blips sometimes. Anyway, there's nothing I can do. As always, stay smart, stay safe, stay secure. I will catch you on the next one. Disclaimer, the information in this podcast episode, aka episode, is provided for general information purposes only. By listening to this episode, you understand that this is not specific technical guidance from the host. No information contained in this episode should be construed as security advice from the author, host, or guest, nor is it intended to be a substitute for security advice on any particular subject matter. No listener of this episode should act or refrain from acting on the basis of any information included in or accessible through this episode without seeking the appropriate technical or other professional advice on the particular facts and circumstances that are discussed. This podcast is for informational purposes only. All views expressed therein are those of the host and his guest and should not be considered as being endorsed by nor related to the host or the guest's employers.